When I started the practice, I was the only woman in a group of 8 men. And it took years to get women in there. And at this point in time, our group has more women than men. We are very diverse. We like bringing a diverse group to clients. Clients like it, they expect it. And it just makes us better lawyers to people that have different backgrounds, come up with different ideas.
Hello, and thank you for joining us this week on Dwayne Morris, DEI 360 with Joe West. I am Yumika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. On today's episode, we're happy to have our partner and chair of the firm's Employment, Labor, Benefits, and Immigration Practice Group, Eve Klein. Joe and Eve discusses the changing legal landscape and the importance of diversity in an era of remote work, the Great Resignation, and the pandemic.
Hi, this is Joe West. I am a partner at Dwayne Morris. I have the privilege of serving as the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer at the firm. And I'm thrilled to have an absolute rock star of an attorney and one of the tremendous leaders we're fortunate enough to have here at Dwayne Morris, the head of our ELBI group, Eve Klein. How you doing, Eve?
I'm great. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me today.
All right, so let's start off by talking about ELBI, which is one of the powerhouse practice groups in our firm. It's one of the things that we are known for. Tell people who don't know what ELBI is and a little bit about the practice area.
Okay, thanks. So ELBI, the acronym we use is for Employment, Labor, Benefits, and Immigration. And our group is under one umbrella because we find that our services are often interrelated. So within that group, we have traditional labor lawyers that handle union-related matters, collective bargaining, campaigns and such, employment lawyers that handle all the day-to-day advice and counsel, as well as employment litigation, training, policy preparation. Then we have benefits attorneys that help with the drafting of plans, reviewing of plans and executive compensation agreements. And last but not least, a host of immigration attorneys that help businesses bring in candidates to the United States, and we also do an outbound service for clients as well in that regard.
So let me ask you this, Eve, is that typical? Obviously, our firm, as we know, and we talk about a lot, we do a really good job of cross-marketing across different disciplines, different subject matter and practice areas and geographic areas. Is it typical for those four sort of areas to kind of coexist in the same practice area, or is that something that's unique to us?
Joe, I think that's unique to us. First of all, I think most firms don't even have all of those different disciplines. Small firms certainly don't. And a lot of the larger firms, they might just have executive compensation, but they wouldn't have the full panoply that we have. We really seek to cover from A to Z, from when an employee enters the workplace to departure, every range of service that an employer might need.
So let me ask you this, what's been the most fundamental change in the practice area that's your sweet spot, the labor and employment area, over the last, let's say, 15, 20 years? What's been the most fundamental change? And what do you think is something that people, particularly clients, might need to be mindful of over the next few years?
Well, if we were limiting your question, Joe, to just the last couple of years, the pandemic has really changed things dramatically and in a very expedited fashion. But let me start with your question. I would say in the last 15 years, we continue to see more employment-related issues, less union-related issues. Unionization has continued to decline over the past several decades, including in the last 15 years, although with the current administration, we're starting to see a change. We're starting to see more unionization efforts in the technology sector, we're seeing a little bit of a change in dynamics there. But certainly within the last few years, even before the pandemic, we started to see a shift to folks working remotely, and that has just been exponentially expedited during the pandemic, so that employers are facing, you know, a whole host of issues from how to manage, how to supervise, how to record time, you know, how to know what somebody's doing, when they're doing it, you know, can they monitor them? Can they require them to come into the office? How do they accommodate them? All from, you know, a remote setting.
But haven't we also seen, and I guess this has been in the last couple of years with the pandemic, sort of a more sort of empowered employee base in a lot of sectors as well. People sort of, you know, having greater expectations, being more active in communicating their expectations. And then, of course, there's the great resignation, which I want you to touch upon as well.
Yep. I think it's somewhat generational. It does seem that the newer generation, they really want things to be more efficient. So they're not willing to commute. And we were getting that pushback even before the pandemic in order to get the best, brightest, the most talented. Companies have to bend. They can't stick to traditional sort of roles there to get people in. And that plays right into your question on the big resignation. I mean, we have seen, as other law firms and frankly, all the businesses that I represent, which are a big variety of clients, they're seeing people move very quickly. They move for money, they move for convenience, they move for experience. It's a variety of reasons, but folks don't stay as long. So in order to really retain people, I think companies have to be more flexible and be mindful of what the younger generation is looking for.
Yeah, so Eve, you kind of alluded to your client base. Give me an idea of the typical client that you represent. Obviously, you know, without mentioning specific names, but kind of like some of the issues that they face and the range of services that that we provide at Duane Morris for this group.
Joe, we really represent clients in the employment group across all sectors. You know, we have the Big I initiative where we have a particular expertise in certain areas, and then we have practice groups, employment courses across every platform, because every business, doesn't matter what sector you're in, they have employees. So we have clients that are, you know, Fortune 100 companies, we have clients in the healthcare sector, we have clients that are in manufacturing, in fashion and retail, in IT. You know, we represent as sophisticated as banks, Wall Street banks, and some smaller businesses, to cemeteries that have unionized workforces. I mean, it really, I don't think there's any type of business that we don't represent in the employment group.
Are there any sort of commonalities that cut across all of those different types of businesses that you that come immediately to mind? What's the one or two things that you say, this is gonna be common to all of these types of entities?
Every business has employees, and in every business, it doesn't matter how sophisticated or unsophisticated, employees do things that they shouldn't do. They try to get ahead, they violate policies, they think they can get away with things and they can't. They make claims sometimes that aren't founded, sometimes founded claims are made and then somebody may be retaliated against. We see these things across businesses because businesses involve people and people do pretty much the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. When I worked at Walmart, I saw Lee Scott, who was the CEO at the time, being interviewed, and he said, we have 2.5 million employees. If you lived in a city with 2.5 million people, how many jails would you need?
Right, exactly.
To your point.
You know, Joe, I do a lot of training and I do, you know, for example, I just finished up a segment for a client doing diversity, inclusion and harassment training. So we kind of plugged that into required training and make that a little bit wider, and did it for corporate employees and did it for union employees. And when I do that, I run through a list of all the things that you can't say, that you can't do, and what the filters are. And I always preface it by saying, I know you think, why is she going to tell you these things? And then I run down my list and I say, you know what? All of these things come from cases and incidents that I have advised clients on. They're all
exactly.
Real. So you need to hear them.
One of them probably happened today.
Definitely.
Well, one thing you mentioned in passing was our Big I initiative. You and I both served on the firm's strategic planning committee. Talk a little bit about why it was important for the firm to engage in that endeavor, what the goal was, and how it's making us more competitive.
Okay. Before we engaged in the Big I initiative, the firm already had a wealth of experience in different sectors. So this was a different way to organize it. and to get across discipline support for the areas that we had expertise. So I guess a good example of that is, you know, even though the employment group did work, let's say, supporting technology, now we have a group that focuses on technology, and we have members of that group that are employment lawyers, and they partake in these meetings. So when issues come up, we can jump in. Similarly, cannabis is one of the bigger initiatives that we have. And cannabis has all sorts of issues, from, you know, the growing to the selling to the people in the stores to what's legal, what's not legal, you know, union issues. A lot of cannabis companies, for example, have to, in order to get their licenses, they have to sign what's called a labor peace agreement that gives union access to organize. What does that mean? What are their rights? So we have now integrated employment lawyers, as have other practice groups, in all of our industry sectors to give better depth and support in the employment area for particular industries. And I think that makes us more competitive. So when a client comes to us from a particular industry, we don't just bring employment, we bring all of the other pieces that that client needs.
Yeah, and that fits in very well with our culture and our platform of collaboration that we do very well at Duane Morris. I want to talk a little bit about Eve Klein. I know you're a New Yorker, Cornell undergrad, Cornell Law School. You're the one of the leaders, not just in, well, you lead the ELBI across the entire firm, but you have a very strong leadership presence there in the New York office. We have two offices in New York. Give us a little bit of information about your journey that led you to Duane Morris.
Okay, well, I guess I assumed, Joe, that I was being invited to do this podcast in honor of my 25th anniversary at Duane Morris. So very good timing.
Congratulations. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 25 years. I started my journey after law school. I always knew I wanted to do labor work, and I went to a large firm named Shea and Gould, which Bill Shea was from Shea Stadium. He helped get it was a very political firm and helped New York at Shea Stadium, which was the predecessor to Citi Field. So we did a lot of union side work and management work, which is an unusual thing for practitioners in our field. You usually do one or the other because there's often conflicts, and also not just actual conflicts, but philosophical conflicts. But I think that really seasoned me doing a lot of the union side work to understand the whole process, what unions think, what employees think, and how management can best protect itself or work together with unions, depending on the situation it finds itself in. So I did that. I was at that firm for a long time before coming to Duane Morris.
So you are almost a Duane Morris lifer.
Almost, yeah. I'm here, Matt and Sharon, Matt, our chairman, obviously, and Sharon Caffrey, leader of the trial group, also started in 1997 at the firm. So we all share a big anniversary this year.
Well, congratulations to you. We're very, very fortunate to have you. I will tell you that I am a partner in the trial group, but boy, I spend a lot of time working and collaborating with ELBI lawyers, as you know. There's a group of ELBI lawyers who have jumped in on a client that I brought in recently who are doing a bang up job. And I've obviously done a lot of diversity and inclusion and implicit bias training with ELBI lawyers, have found them all to be extraordinary lawyers and fantastic people too. So I think
plugging you in, Joe, on our trainings and such, because you bring a different level of expertise that we don't have. So we're lucky to have you as well.
Well, listen, I appreciate that, Eve. And that gives us a chance in just a couple of minutes we have left to talk about how important issues around diversity and inclusion are. And, you know, you are a big advocate for diverse populations within the firm, growing and developing them, helping to recruit them, and making sure that there's opportunities for women, for people of color, LGBTQ, people with disabilities. So just before we go, talk a moment about how important that is to us as a firm, to your practice area, and why it's something that we should all care about.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. So I think within our group and ELBI and in employment generally, that is just one of the other, to go back to an earlier question, big change that I saw, because when I started the practice, I was the only woman in a group of 8 men. And it took years to get women in there. And at this point in time, maybe it's a shift to doing more of the employment and less of the traditional union stuff, which tended to be more male focused. but our group has more women than men. So we are very diverse, definitely on the gender issue. We have on LGBT, at least four within our practice group. In terms of diversity, we have employees of different races, different religions. We're always trying to buttress that, but we have several in our group, and we like that. We like bringing a diverse group to clients. Clients like it, they expect it, and it just makes us better lawyers. People that have different backgrounds, come up with different ideas, and that's what we try
to do. Well, listen, sorry to interrupt you, but I want us to stay right on time, and I know how busy you are because I've had the privilege of working with you. And like I said, the lawyers in your group are extraordinary. Dwayne Morris is lucky to have you. And you're one of the reasons why I came to the firm and why I love being here. Congratulations on your 25th anniversary with the firm. And thank you for spending some time with us.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity, Joe. Really appreciate it.